Well, the trial of Chad Daybell is underway, at least the jury selection portion beginning this week. Courtroom brimmed with anticipation, lots of people lining up outside to get in to begin watching this saga that has been going on for quite some time. Of course, he's being charged with the 2019 murders of Lori Vallow Daybell's children, J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan, along with the death of Chad's late wife, Tammy Daybell. Following Lori Vallow Daybell's conviction and life sentence last year, Chad is facing the very same weight of justice with a little extra poundage on top, because the death penalty is a possibility here. With charges of conspiracy to commit murder and first-degree murder looming over him, the trial carries that gravity, like I said, of the death penalty. Something Lori was able to escape, basically because of some prosecutorial mess-ups that basically made them say, okay, we'll lift this off because this wasn't done quite properly. The pivotal phase for the jury selection is anticipated to span about 2 weeks, and we're, as of this airing, about 3 days in. Underscores the importance of securing impartial jurors capable of discerning both guilt and potential punishment. Legal analyst Greg Skadoris emphasized the necessity of jurors willing to abide by the principles of the law, particularly regarding the death penalty. Amidst the intense public scrutiny surrounding the case, Skadoris explained the challenges of maintaining impartiality amidst the case's notoriety, stressing the imperativeness of jurors untainted by previous trial proceedings. Amidst public opinion and lingering questions, the court hopes to uphold the sanctity of due process, ensuring a fair trial for Chad Daybell. Prosecutors are poised to present a comprehensive case, carefully detailing the charges against Daybell and substantiating their pursuit of the death penalty. Skadoris anticipates an exhaustive presentation akin to leaving no stone unturned, underscoring the gravity of the allegations in this case. In contrast to Lori's trial, no witnesses were called there. Chad Daybell's defense plans to present witnesses and experts. A little departure from the last one. They really wanted to make sure that they try and put up some sort of a defense. It's estimated to last 8 to 12 weeks.
Oh.
At the end of this. I think it's going to be more interesting than Lori, quite honestly. I think we're going to see a lot more things come out. I think we're going to see some other accusations come out and points to the story that we were unaware of. It's going to be interesting to hear what his defense is going to be. I think at the end of the day, the goal of Chad Daybell's defense is not necessarily to win this, but it's to spare his life.
Do you think he's the puppet master here, or do you think she was?
I think they're both equally insane. I don't buy for 1 second that Lori was just pulling the strings and then he was brainwashed and had no choice. I think he willingly and knew what he was doing. I think he helped mold Lori down the current path of insanity that she's on. I think Lori's always been someone like that. But Chad's the one who, wrote all these books and started creating these followings of these crazy people. With their end of world bullshit. And so I think they're both equally culpable in this whole thing.
I wonder who contrived the plan to actually kill the children. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another to say, okay, these two have got to go. Here's how we're going to do it.
I'm going to take a wild guess here, and I'm going to say mom probably did not.
That's what I'm hoping.
It's going to be presented that it was all Lori, that Lori was saying it's zombies and stuff, but I think Chad, and maybe it went too far, like maybe his plan was like, let's get the kids just to go someplace else or go live with somebody else because he just wanted Lori all to himself. But I would imagine, because Chad is the kind of the resident exorcist and the preacher, and he gets the visions, and Lori does too. I think it might have was probably suggested by Chad that the kids are evil or zombies, as they called them, and maybe the goal was not to execute them in his mind initially, but then Lori took it to that depth of, well, they're not people anymore, so what do we should do this. And I think Chad, being Chad and the buffoon that he is, went along with it and thought, well, what's the worst that could happen? This. You take people's lives. And I just think they were so steeped in their own insanity that they couldn't see the trees through the forest because they just didn't seem to have any clue that, you know, maybe shit was going to go downhill when the children are missing and you're off in Hawaii and Dateline is literally following you around everywhere you go, asking you questions. I think he thought he's going to somehow escape this and that, you know, they're living their truth. And I think Lori believed the insanity of the whole thing, that nothing can, you know, stop them or hurt them. Or if they do, they're martyrs and it's God's plan. And this is all, you know, it's okay. She's doing the right thing. Cause I fully believe she did not think that that her kids were people anymore. Chad, on the other hand, I think he knew. I just think his desire and lust for Lori was greater than giving a shit about her kids.
It's just a weird, well, to say it's a weird relationship is really kind of an understatement, but it's,
I think
they really took it to a whole new level.
It's a classic love story. How could you say it's a weird
relationship? Oh, God.
I just think it's a story of two extremely sick people that it was a perfect storm of insanity. Normally you just kind of have one that's doing this stuff, but I think you had two that were coming in, or at least I think he was coming in and out of sanity and living some of it out. And then I don't know. I think he knew that, you know, the shit was hitting the fan, especially when the police came and he's calling her and she's already in jail. And, you know, are they in the backyard yet? And like, well, they're digging back there. Like, gee, I wonder what they're going to find, Chad.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, what did they think would happen? Like, you know, coyotes would come and drag the bodies away and there'd be no evidence. I mean, what did they think would happen?
I don't think they thought that part through. I think they were waiting for the end of the world to come and it didn't happen. And then suddenly they had to face the wrath of reality.
Well, the end of the world is coming, just for him, really.
Yes. Yeah. I thought you were going to go on a tirade there. Well, the end of the world is coming.
We're already in end times. Who are you kidding?
Let me witness for you for a little while. like, whoa, this is a totally different side of Stacey. They'll all get nuked at some point in time. But I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to watch how this whole thing unfolds. It's a freak show. It's 100% a freak show. And just to see how these people are thinking and try to make sense of it. But at the end of the day, you can't make sense of crazy behavior.
But, no, and they were feeding off of each other too. It, like you said, it's not just that one was crazy in the relationship. She obviously was able to cross that line as a mother, as, you know, as the female in the relationship. You would have hoped she would have been a little more nurturing of her own kids.
No, she was nurturing of herself because she's a fucking narcissist or psychopath. It's completely crazy. It's gonna be real telling to see if he flips on her in the trial itself and throws her under the bus and how that all works out. And then how that affects her upcoming trial as well. If she's going to continue to not throw him under the bus as she didn't in the last one, or if that may change that dynamic a little bit. I could see her not throwing him under the bus still and believing that, well, now he's a zombie and they got to him too. And, you know, the real Chad is dead and he's, you know, off in, you know, Mormon heaven or whatever. And this is just a shell of Chad, whatever she's going to have to tell herself. So it doesn't harm her extremely fragile ego. She will, because she can't handle the basics of reality.
Do you think she's going to have to testify against him?
No, nor would she have to, because they're husband, wife,
they're married. Yeah.
And nor do I think she would. I think if there's anything where that could possibly be a possibility is if he makes some sort of deal to avoid the death penalty that he testifies against her in the upcoming trial. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that, or reason why Lori would ever testify against him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I could see that the other way, just depending on how this whole thing plays out. But it'd be very interesting to watch. Jury selection underway. If you want to listen to that, we got it here in the podcast. And you can hear all of that. The real beef of it will be starting up, well, whenever they finish that jury selection. They said 1 to 2 weeks. We'll see how long that all takes.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.